The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Hilchos Teshuvah something we're familiar with, probably come across it before, hopefully. Kol echad ve'echad mibnei ha'adam yesh lo zechuyos va'avonos. Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph. Everybody has mitzvahs and averos. Anybody who has more mitzvahs than averos is called a tzaddik. More averos than mitzvahs is called a rasha. Half and half is called a beinoni. The Rambam goes on to say that this is true not only with regards to an individual, but a community as well. And then the Rambam continues, Adam Shavonosav Merubanos Kuyosav, person who has more averos than mitzvahs, will die right away. Miyad humeis berisho shenema arov avonecha. Medina, a community, a country that has more averos than mitzvahs, will also die. And the Rambam says this is true not only throughout the year, but particularly when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Says the Rambam that this is true at the end of a person's life, but he writes a pair of Gimel Halacha Gimel. Kishem Shoshokun Avonos Adam V'Zkuyot V'Shas Misaso Kach V'Chol Shana V'Shana. Every year on Rosh Hashanah Shokun Avonos Ko Echa V'Ech Miboi Olam, everybody gets judged or weighed. Im Zkuyot V'Yom Tov Shav Rosh Hashanah. As his mitzvahs on Rosh Hashanah, Mishan Imtza Tzadik Nechum Mechaim. If you have more mitzvahs than averos, he's sealed for life. Mishan Imtza Rasha Nechum Lamisa. If he has more averos than mitzvahs, he's sealed. The other way, Abenoni is Tolad Yom Kippurim. It must have Shuvah Nechum Mechaim and Lav Nechum Lamisa. But Shuvah Mechaim, if not, the opposite. And even though we're so familiar with this realm, it really is so disturbing. But also requires a lot of understanding and analysis to put it in proper perspective and understand it properly. The first thing is, let's say a person does an avera, many averos, a whole bag, right? But he happens to have more mitzvahs than those averos. So is he punished for the averos that he did? From the Rambam, it sounds like he's not, right? He has more mitzvahs than averos. Okay, so the averos are negligible in the bigger picture. What? How can it be that he's not punished for those averos that he did, even though he has some mitzvahs, he has many, many averos, how could it be that he's not punished? Moreover, what's unique about Rosh Hashanah? If a person is going to be punished for his averos, why does he have to wait till Rosh Hashanah to be punished? Like, what's taking place beforehand? What's unique, or to phrase it somewhat differently, what's unique about Rosh Hashanah more than any other day? Aren't we judged every day? I think Mark quotes Rabbi Yossi, other midah, b'chol yom. So what's so different about Rosh Hashanah? Okay, so first question is, what happened to all the averos, even though, are they negligible, baruch? Like, if I do a lot of good, even though I do a lot of bad, the ends justify the means? You know, and finally, the Ravid asks the Rambam, do people really die right away? Like, the person who has more averos than mitzvahs, is he put out of his misery right away? The Ravid says, it's not true. He says, lo kamo shu sover. So you don't find that they die right away. What's going on? So Rosh Shapiro explains the Rambam in a certain way over here in Indian Gimel, Sefer Afikei Mayim, and his explanation actually has echoes elsewhere throughout other parts of the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah. What he basically explains is that a person is obligated not only to perform mitzvos and not refrain from doing averos, but a person has a second obligation to generally be in a position where he's a tzaddik, meaning he has more mitzvos than averos, as opposed to a rasha who has more averos than mitzvos. So in a certain sense, there's really two obligations that we have. There's one to, you know, every day and every moment make sure we're keeping the mitzvahs and not performing averos. And if a person performs an averos, certainly, you know, there's whatever, however we understand divine justice, but there'll be some punishment that awaits him for doing that avera. There's nothing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives, you know, just because in the bigger picture it's negligible. There'll be din v'cheshbon. But there's a second aspect of a person's religious life that he should try and be, even if, you know, in the reality of life that we all encounter, there are averos, but you should have more mitzvahs than averos. You should be trending in the right way as opposed to trending in the other way, where it's more averos than mitzvahs. I like to give the mushroom of the stock pages, right? You know, where there's an arrow pointing up, or an arrow, I only was one semester in science, but I got that far. You know, an arrow pointing down. How is the stock trending? So we are also, in a certain sense, Kadosh Baruch Hu views that aspect of us as of our religious lives as well. Not only the micro picture, but if you will, the macro picture of how we're trending. And that is unique to Rosh Hashanah. Every day, of course, a person is held responsible for specific actions.
Yes, for sure.
And Hashem forgets nothing. But what's unique about Rosh Hashanah is that a person should be trending in the proper direction. Make sure that he has more mitzvos and averos, and Hashem takes stock of that only once a year on Rosh Hashanah. Which direction are we trending? And what the Rambam means, miyad meis berisho, he doesn't mean, says Ramesh Shapiro, that person's going to die right away. That's not what the Rambam's talking about. What the Rambam means is that he's not justifying the reason for which he was created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings with the understanding that ain sadik baritz shayasa toivu loyechta, people perform averos, we fail at certain points. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that meirosh. At the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to perform more mitzvahs than averos. And if a person is not doing so, if he's not a tzaddik, he's a rasha, that means he's not justifying the reason for which he was created. And then in a certain sense, he's mace. You know, the Gemara tells us that Rishayim afilu b'chayehem kriya mason. A rasha, even when he's alive, is considered to be dead. Why? Because he's not justifying the reason for which he was created. So in a certain sense, he's not really alive to the fullest. The person's only alive to the fullest when he's actually more mitzvos than averos. I think that this notion of Ramesh Shapiro, the way that he explained the Rambam, that we are responsible for two different things. Number one, every day, to make sure we're doing more mitzvahs, you know, make sure we're doing our mitzvahs and not averos. But then overall, the macro picture, to make sure we're trending in the right direction, that's really the din of Rosh Hashanah, is echoed throughout the Rambam elsewhere. Perhaps could help us resolve other things in the Rambam. Because the Rambam, at the beginning of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Teshuvah, the Rambam says, how does a person go about performing tshuva? Of course, we know there's four stages to tshuva. What are they? You got to know this time of year, right? First is azivas hachet. You have to stop doing the avera, right? You can't be tovel v'sheretz biyoda. You have to stop doing the avera. Then there is charot al sha'avar, regretting that which you did in the past, kabbalah, or asid acceptance to differently in the future, and vidah, confessing that which you did wrong. And the Rambam in Perek Aleph of tshuva, that's how he organizes it. Azivas hachet. He says, I'm embarrassed about what I did. So, regret. Then he says, I'm not going to come back to do this again. And then, so first you fix the past, look forward to the future, and then, confess that which you did wrong. However, in Perek Beis of Hilchos Teshuvah, the Rambam switches the order. In Perek Beis of Hilchos Teshuvah, Halacha Beis says the Rambam, "Ma'ya Tshuva, Hu Sheyazav Akoyte Eschetoi." You should stop doing the avera. V'yasirenu Mimashav. To that, you have to stop doing the avera. Then he says, "V'yigmor Belibo Shlo Yasei Od." Accept it differently in the future, and then Yisnachem Al Sha'avar. Regret that which you did in the past. Why does he switch the order? It was regret that which you did in the past, right? Housekeeping. Then accept it differently in the future. That was Perek Aleph. Perek Beis, the Rambam switches the order. Now it's accepted differently in the future, and then regret the past. And I believe that the Rambam here is discussing these two aspects to tshuva, because we really have two religious responsibilities throughout in our religious life. The first is, if you're addressing one specific thing that you did wrong, feel bad about it, figure out a game plan for the future, you won't fall into that same pitfall again. However, when we're discussing Perek Beis, he's discussing the macro picture, the bigger, you know, religious trajectory of our life. In which direction are we trending? So that's where the Rambam says, you know, you can't switch the way that your whole life is going by feeling bad about the past. If you do that, you'll fall into a depression, and you'll never be successful. You can't focus on all the things that I did 5 years ago. I'm going to start, Cheshbon HaNefesh is wonderful, but it starts, how am I going to... No, you're not going to work. Just focus on the future. What am I going to do tomorrow? And then everything else will follow as a result. So if it's a micro picture, something I did wrong, you got to feel bad about it, and then move on. But it's the macro picture, the bigger picture of what religious trajectory are you, a tzaddik, a rosha, more mitzvahs than averos, which is the unique din of Rosh Hashanah. So then that person has to begin looking forward to the future. That's why on Rosh Hashanah, of course, is the first day of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, there's no vidui. Everyone asks what happened to the vidui, what happened to the clapping out face. We should be doing that on Rosh Hashanah. Why do we wait till the last minute on Yom Kippur trying to squeeze it all in? Of course, the answer is because the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is not the tshuva about specific actions. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva about our religious trajectory. As Ramesh Shapiro explained. This, I think, is also the meaning of that other Rambam, the one we started with. Right, the Rambam says a person has half mitzvahs, half averis on Rosh Hashanah. So then he's a Beinoni, and he waits until Yom Kippur. If he does tshuva, nechtam l'chaim. If not, nechtam l'misa. So first of all, you know, and of course we're all supposed to view ourselves as a Beinoni. So the Lech Mishnah already asked, why does he have to do tshuva? If he's a Beinoni, half mitzvahs and half averis, right? You ask the child this question. It sounds balabatish, but it's important to ask. Well, then let him just give a doubt at stalker. Here you go. Done. Forget about this tshuva business and the paspalter. Let me eat my sourdough cookies. Here's your doubt for tzedakah, and I'm done with the aseret mei tshuva. Why do I have to get involved in all this, right? If I'm a Beinoni. Why do I have to do tshuva? It's much harder. So the commissioner says, well, Hashem is coming to you for you to do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva now, when Hashem is there waiting for me, waiting for us, so then that itself is a patra, but that's bigger avera than any other avera, outweigh any eclipse, any mitzvah you could possibly perform. So, wasting, squandering the opportunity to do tshuva when Hashem comes to us, that's why the Chazan starts HaMelech from his seat on Rosh Hashanah. Why? So Moshe Wolfson explains that Hashem is coming to each one of us. It's the time that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available to us to do tshuva, but that's when Kadosh Baruch Hu comes. When he's found, comes to each one of us, asking us to tshuva. If we're going to turn Hashem down, that avera will eclipse the dollar that you gave to tzedakah. Okay, that's one answer. Another answer, Aaron Cutler says, is because in the Mishnah said, yeah, and if you'll give tzedakah now, then we'll go for next year's ledger. It's accounting, right? If you're into that, right? So it goes on next year's ledger. The only thing that can change the past is tshuva. So that's why the only option to the Beinoni is tshuva. That's the only thing that can change the past. The tzedakah will go for the future. However, the Pachad Yitzchak, the Meiri, Miri says that the Pachad Yitzchak said it on his own, which I believe is the Parsha Pshat. We're not talking about a guy who's literally half and half. Half and half, come on, how common is that? And what, half and half, and it's like a stalemate, like a numerical limbo. Now, what we're talking about is, that would be rare, right? Why do we all have to view ourselves as a Beinoni? So says the Miri, says the Rav Huttner, that the Rambam here is discussing a person, not who's the micro picture of a mitzvah and averos. He's not sure which direction he's trending. Is he getting closer to Hashem? Is he moving farther away? Is he doing more mitzvahs in the coming year or more averus? Is he becoming more intense or less connected? And many people are not sure about which direction they're heading in. That's why most of us view ourselves as a Beinoni, and therefore the only option that's open to the Beinoni, what addresses his whole religious trajectory in general, is tshuva. Tzedakah is wonderful, of course, and we can't even describe the reward that awaits a person who does tzedakah, but it doesn't change necessarily fundamentally which direction he's going in. The only thing that could do that, of course, is tshuva. That's what's important on Rosh Hashanah. They say Rosh Hateves for Elo. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. Kadosh Baruch Hu, desire a relationship with the Rosh Hashanah. He wants a relationship with us as well. However, the word ana, not aleph nun aleph, but aleph nun hey, doesn't necessarily mean me. It means many people make that mistake. Or please, ana means which direction am I going in? As va'ana aniva, as the pasuk says, and I don't know where I'm going. Or the pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, we say in Hallel, most people get it wrong. Is ana Hashem hashiana? Va'ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. So ana with an aleph is please. Ana with a hey means Hashem, I don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. Hashiana, please save me. That's ana with a hey. Ana with a hey means I don't know where I'm going. So we could suggest, it's not my suggestion, but ani l'doidi v'doidi li, what we have to focus on during Elul is not, of course, our unyielding relation with Hashem, but ani l'doidi, my direction, the way that I'm heading in, my religious trajectory is l'doidi. It's towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Forget about it. Don't get bogged down in the micro picture of tshuva, which of course is critical. That's the whole year. But this time of the year is the macro picture about which direction we're trending in. And Yirtzeh Hashem, if we all commit to trend closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see us all for Tzivut Simchat Torah.